In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ, glory to God forever. Two of the people I love most in this world work in the healthcare field. One of them was laid off suddenly, just like that, due to reduction in her type of work as a result of ramping up for coronavirus patients. Just boom, no work. The other is a nurse who leads infection prevention and containment at a large hospital in the Twin Cities. You can only imagine what that's like right now. She's suddenly putting in 10, 12, 14-hour days, and her weekends mean working from home. And you can guess what that does to family time. Two healthcare workers, one driven to exhaustion, one suddenly unemployed. Last month, I read about a couple quarantined on a cruise ship. Their adult daughter died suddenly of a cause completely unrelated to coronavirus. But they were not permitted to leave the ship in order to attend their own daughter's funeral. A couple in San Francisco was supposed to get married yesterday, and they're probably not alone in this kind of situation. A year and a half of planning, preparations, flowers, music, of course the church, the wedding hall, invitations, guests, everything that goes into all that planning. And all those plans wiped out. Eliana Fall shared with me the other day a message from a high school teacher to high school seniors. The teacher said something like, "It's not fair what's being taken away from you, especially in your senior year. Prom, athletics, the camaraderie, graduation, just the excitement of one senior year and all those things you have worked for, all taken away. Our whole educational system puts its focus for youth on one ultimate goal, which is to graduate. And now, at least in its formal setting, is suddenly a whole different animal." This teacher said, "It's a disappointment. It's heartbreaking." And the teacher told the students, "But don't let anyone minimize your heartbreak just because you're young or just because it's not life or death. The heartbreak is real. Don't pretend it isn't." In this painful, strange time, these things happen. And they hurt, and they confuse, and they can frighten. And whether it's a disappointment or something outright awful, like a daughter's death, last time I checked, it's not a competition. It all hurts. And whether we hear them on the news or whether it hits close to home, the first human question is often, why doesn't God fix it? Where is God in these moments or weeks? Where is God in these troubled times? Now, this kind of question, it deserves an answer. And the answer from the Christian perspective is found in the cross of Jesus Christ, which we celebrate on this midpoint of Great Lent. The cross is God entering into the darkest places of the human condition. The cross is God entering sin. The cross is God entering suffering. The cross is God entering the place of death itself. The cross has always been the center of the Christian faith. But the cross has also been controversial. Not everyone likes and not everyone accepts the cross as our center. It's controversial because God, in the person of Jesus Christ, conquers suffering and death, not by just waving a hand and magicking it away, but by taking it on, by accepting it, by God becoming subject to the very suffering we want to be rid of. And if our God shows us the way by accepting the suffering, where does that leave us as his followers? The Jews found this scandalous, Paul tells us. The Jews wanted someone coming with power to take away their pain. They wanted and expected a Messiah who came with earthly power. A power that would make the enemy, whether visible or invisible, would make that enemy disappear. and the cross flies in the face of that expectation. The cross means the Messiah's power is entirely different than what was expected. It means that the Messiah, while God, was willing to become one of us and willing to become one with us in our condition. But why won't God take away our troubles? Why won't God fix the problems of those who trust in Him? And I'm not even asking Him to fix every little thing. Just the big ones, maybe. Maybe start with this virus wreaking havoc across the entire globe. Well, the answer is we live for a while longer in a broken world. We are not yet in the fullness of the kingdom of heaven. As Frank Moriak used to say of life, the first 100 years are the toughest. But the good news is that the cross brings the kingdom of heaven into our broken world. The cross overpowers evil not by making it magically vanish, but because it is stronger than the evil that's here. The cross doesn't stop hate in this world, no sir. But the cross shows love is stronger than hate. The cross doesn't stop pain in this world, but the cross reveals that God's strength that He put in you is greater than the pain. The cross doesn't stop pandemics and quarantines, but the cross does inspire us to dive into them with love and service and creativity. The reality in this world is that there are viruses and that there are pandemics. We're not the first generation to face one. The reality is there is pain and there is disappointment. The reality is children get scared. The reality is people get betrayed. The reality is our bodies get sick or injured. The reality is sometimes big events get canceled. Sometimes one person is run ragged while another is informed you're unemployed. The reality is sometimes you aren't allowed to attend your own daughter's funeral. In the epistle to the Hebrews prescribed for today, it says Jesus has sympathy for our weaknesses because He Himself was tested by the same weaknesses. In other words, Jesus did not come into the broken world to skip through the daisies. He came into the broken world to be one of us and one with us, to bear our weaknesses and to be tested with our pains and our disappointments. Jesus was hurt. Jesus wept. He got frustrated. He got angry. His loved ones died. He was misunderstood. He was betrayed. He was abandoned. He was crucified. All those things common to the human condition, Jesus experienced. In other words, God does not change the fallen world by magically fixing it. God changes the fallen world by entering it, by putting Himself into it. But here's what happens when God enters our world. In the very next verse, after saying Jesus can sympathize with our weaknesses, it says He can do that so that we may find grace to help in our time of need. Jesus came so that you might find help in your time of need. Now, notice it doesn't say your time of need will disappear. It doesn't say that. It says the grace to help comes in your time of need. The time of need is still there, but the grace to help comes there. Do you want the power of the cross? Don't ask for your troubles to go away. That's not what the cross stands for. The cross is the strength and the power to face down those troubles. That's what you ask for. Not that the troubles go away, but for the strength and power and unbreakable love. That's what the cross stands for. The cross is love and joy and power in the face of sickness, in the face of disappointment, and even in the face of death. The cross means that no matter what life dishes out, love is greater than the pain. You want to hear the power of the cross? The teacher's advice that Eliana shared not only said, don't let anyone minimize your disappointment, but also said, It's going to be different, so make something of it. Make this a senior year of running errands for elderly neighbors. Maybe give blood. Create art or music you would have never had the time to create. Write a letter, a real letter, to someone who could use it. In other words, just because it's different doesn't mean it's over. Let love win. That's the power of the cross. The couple in San Francisco that was supposed to get married yesterday, they still got married. But instead of 400 guests, they had 7. And with the money they're getting back, they're donating it all to a meal delivery service for the homebound. That's the power of the cross. That's love being greater than the pain. The couple quarantined on the ship last month. They did get to video conference into the funeral. And of course, that's not the same thing. And they will have a memorial sometime soon that they can be present at. But in the meantime, they used their cruise refund to help a neighbor complete an adoption just before it was all put on hold. That's the power of the cross. That's love being greater than the pain. And those two of the people I love most in this world, the one who found herself suddenly unemployed, well, she's using that time to be with family. And the other, the nurse who's being run ragged, whose work has become, in her words, relentless and difficult. Well, I said to her, knowing you, even with what you're going through, I would guess you're not sorry you're in the middle of it all. And in the spirit and power of the cross, she responded in 4 words. You're right, not sorry. That's the power of the cross. Amen.